Hey, listeners. Before we get started with the show, I want to let you know that we are doing a listener survey because even though we're 4 years in, we don't really know that much about you. So if you could head over to our website, higher-ed.social/survey, that'd be great. There's only a couple questions that we need you to fill out. And if you do, you can actually enter to win a free seat for you and your campus colleagues to the upcoming Higher Ed Experts Analytics Conference. That is a $500 value, my friends. So head over to our website, higher-ed.social/survey, and please fill out the survey. If your friends are listeners of the show, send it along to them too. Tell them to enter, and they can win. Thanks. I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
See, for future calls, though, you know, there's a difference, though, between Skype for Business and Skype. If you're trying to call, try to get them on a regular Skype account instead.
That does help us a lot, actually, because we have had a couple issues in the past. Some have resulted in us just not being able to air an episode, but we appreciate you troubleshooting.
No, not a problem.
Gotta get friends in the right places. That's what it is. My dad told me when I started my first job, he said that I should make friends with the people that fix your computer and the people that make your lunch, like the people in the dining hall, because those are like the two most important types of people on campus. So,
except for the people that do toilet paper, because I actually think that they're pretty important too.
They are very important, I guess.
Because you can actually go off campus to eat. So,
all right, well, awesome. I guess my dad was giving me terrible advice then.
No. You can have three.
See, and add a fourth, I was always told be nice to the people that cut your paychecks as well.
That is a pretty fair one that I did not really think about.
Well, there we go.
Hi, thank you so much.
Hi. I've started recording because we're going so fast. So, so there
our
we go.
Listeners, we'll let our listeners know that we just, and when I say we, I mean Jonathan was doing troubleshooting on Skype for the last half hour or so and saving the day for us, or else this episode wouldn't have happened. So this episode is brought to you by Not Skype for Business because it's a terrible platform.
See, but I learned stuff about it. And since one of my teams that I lead handles Office 365, now I know something else to help troubleshoot with them on Skype for Business.
See? Yes.
It's a learning experience.
That's the point of the show. So we've done it. We don't even have to record anymore. We've already gotten to the moral of the story.
Well, you know what it is, right? It's Microsoft trying to integrate Microsoft Communicator, MSN Messenger, and Skype all together into one platform that was never designed to be together.
Oh, I agree. And now they're going to add on Teams as well to make things a little bit more complicated.
I do not like Teams.
So
I like Slack.
I also like Slack. I will agree with you there.
I'm sure it's like full of all kinds of security vulnerabilities and everything, but I still like it.
It's very user-focused. It's easy to start using. It's easy to use once you're in and understand what you're doing with it. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job with the UI, whereas...
You mean a UI where you just type something and hit enter and there you go?
And it works, right? It's very intuitive. I like those type products.
It's IRC. That's all it is. And we... see, some people don't know what IRC is, but you know.
I am one of those people.
It was the original internet chat. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Before there was even the World Wide Web, people were using bulletin boards and IRC. And they used channels that were hashtags. Go figure. I wonder where Twitter got that from. And because originally, you know, people that use Slack, they think, oh, look, you use hashtags as channels and you can talk about stuff in those. Well, that's actually Twitter got it from IRC. And that's the way it had always been before, to have a conversation within a hashtag. like channel. So, you know, there you go.
Wow. And now I've learned something. Logan, what would you like to learn?
Well, what would I like to learn? Well, I'd like to learn a little bit about our guest and like what he does for a living.
That was a perfect segue. I was hoping you would say it.
That was well done. I like it.
Yes. We don't practice.
So my name is Jonathan Hardy, and I am currently an IT director at the University of Georgia. And I provide leadership for teams ranging from storage, virtualization, server engineering teams, database, also Office 365 and the joyous Skype for business platform as well, and also telephony and E911 services. So our telephone team on campus works very closely with our campus police as well as the county and state police. So I kind of have my hands in a lot of different teams from campus, and I love it because it no day is the same. I can come in on a Monday and I'm working predominantly telephone stuff, and the next day it's something's going on with Microsoft, and then the next day it's something else behind the scenes. So it's a lot of fun and provides a lot of diversity in my role, and I enjoy the people I work with as well. University of Georgia is where I came for my undergrad, and stepped away for a while, and I'm going back now actually to finish my bachelor degree while working, and that's been interesting but fun at the same time as well. But University of Georgia has been good to me both from a education and a career perspective, and I really love what I do.
It's a good school. I've had a few friends down in Athens that both, I think one of them was a graduate student there for a little while. My cousin went there, played on the football team. That was fun.
Nice.
So, which is funny because, you know, my dad is like a huge like FSU fan. And another third of my family, they're big Florida fans, and then there's the other third of my family that's like Georgia fans because we're from Cairo, Georgia, which is like down in South Georgia. Mm-hmm. So like, right. I mean, it's closer to Tallahassee than it is to anything. So, which is in Florida. So, you know, it's interesting. My family, how they are both Florida fans and Georgia fans. In fact, my uncle, whose son went to Georgia, his nickname is Gator. 'Cause you know, he likes Florida. So it's interesting. Just the craziness of my family. So yeah, Georgia's great. Athens is great. It's one of those college towns that's just like out in the middle of nowhere.
It really is.
But it's nice. It's such a pretty city.
It really is. It's one of the things that drew me here as well as, well, I mean, honestly, what drew me here was my dad was in the Navy, and there's a Navy school just down the road that now UJ owns, which is interesting to go to meetings on that campus. It's our medical partnership campus. And I grew up in some of those hallways and going through the offices and the houses there because of my dad working on the base. And now it is a school that I work for. So it's interesting to see how they've renovated some of the buildings, a little bit of nostalgia walking through there. But that's what brought us to Athens. And from there, I went to school just outside of Athens in Madison County. And UGA campus is absolutely gorgeous. It's got its own unique flair when it comes to music and food. It's very much like an Austin, Texas, but on a smaller scale. So it's still got that small town feel, and it really draws a lot of students in.
Yeah, so now that you're a student, what's it like to manage that, like, work and school, and also like being back in the classroom, being on a college campus, but also working on a college campus? What's that like?
It's interesting to balance sometimes. In the classroom's been a lot of fun so far. A lot of the professors that I'm taking classes with, I've kind of worked my way up the ranks at UGA, started out doing desktop support as a student worker, and then moved into a full-time position, and then changed a few positions throughout my tenure here. And so I've directly provided desktop support to a lot of the people I'm taking classes from. So they know me, I know them, and that makes it a lot of fun. They will definitely call me out in class occasionally and make sure they keep me on my toes. But at the same time, we have the type of relationship with most of them that I can do the same thing. And it's always interesting from a student perspective. Most of my friends and family will pick on me because I still look 12. so until I start talking about life experiences in the classroom, most of the time they just assume I'm another student. And then I start talking, they're like, oh, and I quickly become the grandfather of the class because I am older than some of the grad students that are teaching classes. So it's always fun. I love it. It provides a little bit of comic relief for the first couple of weeks of classes while we get through the awkwardness of it. And at the end of the day, though, I'm in classroom because I want to be there and not because I have to go through it. And it changes how I approach the homework of it, how I handle the class presentations. It just makes it interesting. The only time I don't enjoy it is when we do things like in the fall semester, like implementing an unpopular change. And then I have to hear all my classmates talk to me about said unpopular change. And I have to admit, yeah, that's my fault. Sorry, guys.
I was going to ask, but clearly the answer is yes, is if you tell your classmates that like you work on the campus.
Oh, yeah. They find out eventually anyway, more often than not, because I will have to miss classes sometimes for conferences like EDUCAUSE or our state IT conference for University of Georgia, the system school. And other times I'll miss because someone important on campus may have had an issue and they need to bend someone's ear about what's going on and make sure that it's getting escalated. And so you start noticing me step out of the classroom sometimes or miss for a week or two because of a conference and people ask questions and I'm more than happy to share. So.
Interesting. And so do students really take advantage of the fact then that they know you? Like, it's like, hey, I need you right now. Like, are you their personal assistant now?
Surprisingly not from a technology perspective. I do get a lot of contact from them as they get close to graduation about jobs or opportunities for references, and I'm honestly more than happy to do that as long as I know them well enough and can speak to it. I'm very passionate about not just higher education, but also mentorship and the role that higher education can play in growing the community, and so any opportunity I have to encourage someone, whether it be a fellow student, fellow faculty or staff member, whatever it is, if I can either be a mentor to them or be a protege of theirs or connect them with someone else or help spark someone's career, I'm all about that. That's the kind of stuff that gives me energy in the workplace and keeps me going.
That's super fun.
I agree with you. That's a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. We've talked about this a lot on the show, like the opportunity to work with students. Not a lot of folks, well, other than faculty, get to work with students all the time. So when us staff members get to, it's pretty neat.
It really is. And that's one of the unique aspects of being able to do IT in higher ed, or at least doing IT the way I like to do IT, and the way I encourage my teams to is, for so many years, IT has been behind the scenes. They kind of do some magic behind the curtains, but don't actually talk to them. Just slide a plate of food under the door and they'll keep going. But what we're trying to change is make sure we're out and about. And IT research on a higher ed campus needs technology. Instruction needs technology. The bus system needs technology. So there's all these different aspects of campus that have a few things in common. They need people, they need money, and they need technology. So working in IT and higher ed, you have the opportunity to work with anyone and everyone you want to. It's just a matter of, are you willing to branch out and have the conversations? And if you are, you can meet some really amazing people.
I think that's the best case for IT and higher education that I've ever heard on the show. And we've talked to a few IT people, not that they weren't bad, but I love that. I love that. That makes me happy.
Don't tell Kyle that. I won't tell him if you don't.
I think like IT is one of the very few departments on a campus that truly does work across silos. I mean, marketing a little bit, you know, whatever. But I think it's one of the very few that you do actually not only get to, but almost have to work with a lot of different types of people on the campus instead of just one division.
Yeah. And you know Kyle?
Loosely. We have a lot of the same contacts, and we will occasionally bounce messages back and forth on Twitter. Higher ed is, I mean, as you all know, seems like a very big world, and it gets really small real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially at conferences.
Yes, exactly. One trip to EDUCALLS and you feel like you know 5 million people. And it just continues to grow every year I go. But it's fun getting to know people like Kyle and others like Rachel Clemens and Timothy Chester, who's the VP I work under right now. These are absolute rock stars in the higher ed community when it comes to IT. And EDUCALLS and other programs like that give you the opportunity to connect. And that's the real beauty of higher education in general, is it's not like a private company that you have to protect all these products and your people. It's about being collegial. There's so much about higher ed that is so collaborative that just makes it a blast. If I'm send something out on the CIO listserv, like a few weeks ago, someone sent something out saying, hey, we're looking at doing multi-factor in our email. Who's done that? And next thing you know, there's 100 of us on a Skype for Business call talking about what we did to roll it out on our campus, and no one was shy about speaking up and saying what they had issues with, what the politics that may have played into it, challenges with students abroad. All of these things started coming up, and no one was shy about sharing, and I love that aspect of higher ed.
You know, EDUCALLS is one of those interesting things that they do so much. And like one of the things that a lot of people don't realize too is that like they are the domain registrar for .edu domains. So you also go through them to get your website for your university or you know, college or institution. So that's pretty cool. And I've never gone to an EDUCALLS conference. But I know some of my predecessors that have been in charge of web have, and our IT folks currently go. So yeah, it's conferences are great. I mean, that's where this podcast came from, was a conference, a web conference of all things. So
nice.
Yeah. The Hyatt web conference. So yeah.
What got you into IT? Was it like IT in higher ed, or did you just happen to start working on a campus? Like everybody has a weird higher ed story, I feel like.
I have an interesting path in general, I guess. My growing up, my father was an electronics engineer in the Navy. So when he got out, I just remember growing up seeing the insides of TVs and VCRs hanging from the ceiling and wall. I was always surrounded by circuit boards. And because of that, I enjoyed electronics. And eventually I got into doing computers when PCs started becoming a little bit more mainstream and available for the home. And after that, by the time I hit high school, I was probably one of the few that had a computer in Madison County at home. So I knew what I was doing on it. So first class, I go into keyboarding and everyone's trying to figure out how to use it. And I'm sitting there, control, alt, delete, kill this task, go here, do this, go here, do this. And eventually I maybe got a little bit bored and did something that today would have gotten me in trouble. Installed some games on all the computers so that I could play with my friends.
I never did that in the computer labs ever. I never had any Unreal tournament, like not a single Unreal tournament. And you know, when I ran the computer labs at MTSU, I never had LAN parties in the computer lab playing Age of Empires. I never did that.
Yeah. It works well until you get caught, and then
actually I did get caught. And But here's the thing, like Res Life thought it was great, a great community building opportunity. So they actually let us set up like real LAN parties where people brought their computers. And then we had like Quake 3 and Counter-Strike tournaments, which I hate Counter-Strike. And I hate first-person shooters anyway. So I'm more the Age of Empires type, but real-time strategy for the win. But yeah, those were fun days. Like that was back when, you know, oh, the internet might be a way to actually have a social event. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
Yeah, the internet in its infancy was a lot of fun. It's sad that a lot of the sites we used to use so religiously at the start are no longer there or so buried that you can't easily find them or use them. But it was fun to see how quickly it evolved. And really, for me, that's where it got started, was being in high school and kind of getting bored with typing because I knew how to type. And doing the game stuff, I eventually got called and they didn't know how to remove them and fix it. So next thing I know, I'm an intern at the school, and that's kind of how I got started in IT. And when I came to UGA, I thought that would be the end of doing IT. I thought it was fun for high school. It gave me something to do. But now I'm in college. I'm in the real world. I've got to do something. And then 3 weeks in, I seriously just lucked into, I was talking to a lady, who we had a mutual friend, and I just happened to see her on campus. And next thing I know, her boss was looking for an IT student. And I came in the next day, said hi, said my name, and he said, "You're hired." And I've been at UGA doing IT ever since. Most of my career has been just sheer dumb luck or stupid mistakes on my part that ended up in a very positive way. And ever since, I've been exposed to it on a higher ed campus. I never really want to leave. I would love for my career to stay at UGA, but if it goes somewhere else, I know it'll be in higher ed, because it's just, again, going back to what I said earlier, it's just a unique environment to work in. Being able to move between research, groundbreaking research happening, to classroom instruction, it's just a fun world to work in.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely special. Yeah.
So what about you all? How'd you get started in higher ed?
I had a similar story to yours I wasn't installing games on computers, but I got an internship and didn't realize it was a job and was like, this is cool, and stuck around. So very similar.
And you recently moved to UNC, right?
Yeah, I can't say recently anymore. I've been here almost a year in North Carolina. I'm close to you now, not too far. And it's warm. I didn't wear a jacket today. It's amazing.
As far as I go, mine is a little different, I guess, than you guys. I took a little detour for a while. So when I was a biology major, and I was I ran computer labs when I was there, the residential computer labs. I was a resident director at MTSU during my my second and third senior years. So that was fun. And that's when I did all the LAN party stuff. But after I graduated, I ended up not wanting to go to grad school yet. I thought I'd take a year or two off. I ended up working, running a Dell Direct store at the local mall, Opry Mills. And we sold Dell computers. And I ended up doing a lot of kind of IT work with that, because I wasn't just in charge of sales, I was also in charge of the upkeep of the computers that we kept there. So I did, I was on the operations team for the Dell Direct stores, like all of them. So I helped come up with how we refreshed and did all that kind of fun stuff, and helped train other people who ran kiosks to set their stuff up. And I went and set up kiosks. So that was fun. And then they closed the Dell Direct stores, and then I didn't have a job for like 4 months. A job opened up at Belmont. My wife worked there. So I applied, and 4 months later, they hired me to do kind of IT work within admissions, which I was supposed to do reports out of Banner and a few other things, like make sure everybody's computer was working and all that kind of stuff. And it actually ended up turning into me running the CRM, doing marketing. And then I started social media. And then I ended up, now I run digital marketing for the university. So yay. Nice. I've moved up through things, and, you know, I still do some of the stuff that I did in admissions. Cause you know, when they move you from what, like I never applied for another position at Belmont. Like Belmont just kind of upgraded me to different things. So they're like, oh, you're doing all this for admissions? Well, why don't you do it for the whole university and admissions? And, cause admissions is part of the university. So, you know, it all works, right? So yeah, still work really close with my old boss, and still do a lot of fun digital marketing stuff, but now I do it for everybody, not just admissions. Though admissions is a good 40% of what I do, because, you know, that's really important, bringing in those prospective students. So it's a lot of fun. I agree with you so much about why higher ed is special and why it's the best place to do a whole host of what we do. So yeah, it's good stuff.
So I was going to ask that, like, now that we're in the new year, and I think we're probably still a little bit between semesters for you, like, what is the thing that's on your desk right now? Like, what did you come back to after the winter break, both, like, I guess for class and for work?
So for work, this was one of those rare years we didn't really get much of a break. The university as a whole probably did, but in 2015, UGA undertook a major project to go to new systems for HR and finance. So we were using a mainframe with a lot of custom applications on top of it. And last year we moved to PeopleSoft Financials, and then we have started moving our HR over to our state system as well. And that cutover happened December 16th. So most of our break was spent on conference calls and meetings in corridors, trying to figure out who's doing what, where we are with payroll and all that fun stuff. So it's been a busy project, but has been a lot of fun because going back to that thing where IT can span so many different silos, I've learned more about the finance and HR side of a university than I ever thought I would need to know over the last 3 years serving on these project teams. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been painful, of course, moving at times. That's a lot of change for one campus to change your HR system and your payroll system and your finance management system all at the same time within the same 2 year span, and upgrading Banner at the same time as well. So our campus has seen a tremendous amount of change. So I'm hoping that spring is a little bit more calm and quiet, kind of coming down off that high of finishing up those projects and looking more towards the summer for work we may do, which is going to be, for me, geared up towards trying to make a lot of our request intake a little bit more customer friendly. My teams, again, are predominantly those that used to be behind the scenes. So our support request forms are built very much in line with, don't ever call us or talk to us, just send this form.
Please don't talk to us.
Yeah. So I'm trying to change that. And I think I have the right team now that really have that passion to help people. So we're going to change the forms to where predominantly we just get a bare minimum amount of information, and then we engage with people more to get the fine details of it. So that's going to be the bulk of what I hope to focus on this spring. But we also just went through an administrative review, and who knows? Once that is finalized, we may have a few surprise projects come out of it, but we'll go with it. I have a very talented group of people around me that I thoroughly enjoy working with, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. I was going to say, so it sounds like, you know, you got a lot of free time coming up in the spring.
Compared to the last 3 years, it will feel like a lot of free time.
It doesn't sound like a lot of free time.
If I'm not busy, I do normally some dumb things when I get bored. So I like being stretched. I mean, when I'm not doing stuff on campus, it's either we have a mentor, a pretty healthy mentorship program on campus that I help lead, and working on building out a mentorship program with EDUCAUSE as well. So it's a lot of fun things. Again, I like wearing multiple hats and being able to move between. It keeps me on my toes, which I thoroughly enjoy.
That's so great.
Well, that's awesome. I'm sure that UGA like totally appreciates all the work that you do. I hope they do. And I can say that we're thankful that you are on the show this week.
I really appreciate you all inviting me, and it's been a pleasure.
Listeners, head down to higher-ed.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today, and subscribe to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find us, and it lets us know what you think of the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast and send us a tweet. We love talking to you, and let us know if you want to be on the show. A big thanks to Emma Haas, who produced this episode, and Mariah Barksdale for helping us with our social media marketing. Higher Ed Social is part of the Connect EDU network, the first podcast network for higher ed. Visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe to some awesome shows, no matter where you work on campus. Thanks, and have a great week.
Thanks so much again for listening to this episode of Higher Ed Social. If you forgot from the first announcement, we're still doing a listener survey. So head over to our website, that's higher-ed.social/survey, and that's where you'll find it. It'll take you 5 minutes, promise. And at the end of the survey, there's an opportunity for you to enter yourself into a drawing for a free seat to the upcoming Higher Ed Experts Analytics Conference. That is a $500 value, so you don't want to miss out. Again, that's our website, higher-ed.social/survey. Thanks.